Good morning. Once upon a time, there was a girl named Cinderella. One day, she was visited by a fairy godmother who granted her wish to go to the palace ball. Cinderella went to the ball, she fell in love with the prince, and they all lived happily ever after. Once upon a time, there was a boy named Aladdin. One day, Aladdin met a genie who granted him three wishes. He defeated a cruel magician, married a princess, and they all lived happily ever after. Once upon a time, there was a man named Solomon. One day, Solomon was visited by God in a dream. God promised to give Solomon wisdom and wealth. Solomon ruled the kingdom of Israel for many years. And that's where we're going to leave Solomon's story for now. Because the Bible is full of really exciting and interesting stories. It's got giants, it's got miracles, it's got fight scenes, it's got love scenes. But unlike the story of Cinderella or the story of Aladdin, the Bible is not a fairy tale. The Bible tells stories about real people. And real people don't always live happily ever after. In our last few all-age services, we've been looking at King Solomon. And King Solomon did many great things. We've learnt that God gave King Solomon wisdom. And we've learnt about a wise decision, that King Solomon made with two women. But also, King Solomon did lots of other great things. He built a temple to the Lord that was greater than anything that had ever been seen before. And Solomon also became very wealthy. And he made Israel into the richest nation in the land at that time. But sadly, unlike Cinderella and Aladdin, Solomon's story doesn't end with a happily ever after. I'm going to read our Bible reading today, which Claire failed to read, which is 1 Kings chapter 11. King Solomon, however, loved many foreign women besides Pharaoh's daughter. He loved Moabites, Ammonites, Edomites, Sidonians, and Hittites. And he married them, even though they were from nations about which the Lord had told the Israelites, "You must not intermarry with them, because they will surely turn your hearts after their gods." Solomon had 700 wives of royal birth and 300 concubines, and his wives led him astray. As Solomon grew old, his wives led him to worship other gods, and his heart was not fully devoted to the Lord as the heart of his father David had been. He followed the gods of the Sidonians and the gods of the Ammonites. On a hill east of Jerusalem, Solomon built a high place for the god of the Moabites and for the god of the Ammonites. And he also built places of worship where all his foreign wives could burn incense and offer sacrifices to their gods. Even though the Lord, the God of Israel, had appeared to Solomon twice and had commanded him not to worship foreign gods, Solomon did not obey the Lord, but turned away from him. And so the Lord was angry with Solomon and said to him, "Because you have deliberately broken your covenant with me and disobeyed my commands, I promise that I will take the kingdom away from you and give it to someone else." So Solomon started out really well and he did so many great things. But by the end of his life, we're told that Solomon had turned away from God and that the kingdom of Israel was taken away from him. So how did this great king, who had received wisdom from God, go so wrong? Well, on the face of it, what led him astray was all the women. Did anyone notice how many women did Solomon have? Yes? He had 700 wives. That's a lot of wives. My husband says that one wife is quite enough. Pretty sure it was a compliment. But 700 is a lot more wives than I think you're supposed to have. I think probably the ideal maximum would be one. So why did Solomon have so many? Well, I'm sure part of it is that they were probably quite beautiful. But really, how many beautiful wives does one person need? If Solomon had had seven, that would have been one for every day of the week. But 700, he must have hardly seen most of them. So why does he need so many? Well, one reason is that Solomon's wives were a bit of a status symbol. They were a sign of his great wealth. The Bible tells us in many places how wealthy Solomon was. But it also points to the fact that Solomon gradually began to get a bit too caught up in his money and his power. In fact, the palace that Solomon built for himself was almost twice as large as the temple that he built to God. Put up your hand if you think your house is big enough to fit 700 people in. Anyone? Put up your hand if you think you or your family could afford to look after 700 people. No, just me then. So we can see that having this large number of wives shows everyone how rich Solomon was, especially as most of those wives were foreign princesses. Now, another reason why Solomon had a lot of wives was to make political alliances. That means to build good relationships with other nations. Because in his wisdom, Solomon knew that a really good way to stay on good terms with foreign rulers was to marry foreign princesses. And making alliances was useful for Solomon, partly because it helped to keep the nation of Israel safe from attack, but partly because it helped to increase his own wealth, status, and power. So, what Solomon's hundreds of wives tell us is that Solomon had been caught up with wealth and power and public image. We know that Solomon's wisdom and his wealth were both gifts from God. God had promised to him at the start of his reign. But as time went on, Solomon began to trust in his wisdom and wealth and the power that they brought with them more than he trusted in the Lord. Solomon relied on his gifts rather than relying on the gift giver. Now, we might not have as much wealth or wisdom or power as Solomon, but it can be all too easy for us today to fall into the same trap, to use our gifts and talents or our money and possessions just to make our own lives better or safer or easier, or to rely on our gifts and possessions more than we rely on God. But the real problem for Solomon wasn't simply that he had too many wives. The real problem was that he had ignored God's instructions. Now, I can be pretty bad at following instructions. I can tend to think that I know best. And I can think of a lot of different instructions that I've ignored over time with varying consequences. So I just want to see if anyone else is a bit like me. So I'm going to just read out some instructions that I've ignored at some time in the past. And if you've ignored that instruction and maybe had a bad consequence too, you should just put up your hands so that everyone can see you and think a bit less of you. Okay, so here's the first one. If you don't go to sleep now, you will be tired in the morning. Has anyone ever ignored that instruction? Okay, next one. Read all instructions carefully before beginning assembly. Next one. If you eat any more of that, you're going to be sick. Okay, next one. Always perform a test on a small area before beginning the full treatment. I'm really enjoying this game. And the last one. If you keep jumping around like that, someone is going to get hurt. Sometimes we can get away with ignoring instructions for things we might buy in shops, or even instructions from our parents or teachers. But today's story teaches us that we can't get away with ignoring instructions from God. God had given Solomon very clear instructions about marrying foreign women. He'd said, "Do not marry people from these nations, because they will lead you astray and turn your hearts towards other gods." But Solomon ignores God's warning. He marries 700 foreign women, and guess what? They lead him astray. Solomon's heart was no longer devoted to God. And there's an important lesson here for us today as well. Not about marrying 700 women, I hope, but that we can't deliberately ignore God's clear instructions and think it won't make a difference. I'm not talking about the times when we might make a mistake or we might get things wrong in the heat of the moment. I'm talking about times when we choose relationships or form habits or spend our time and money in ways that the Bible says is wrong. It might be that there's a person in your class and people pick on them and you sometimes join in, even though you know it's wrong. It might be that we're doing something at work to get ahead, which we know is not right. The story of Solomon teaches us that when we ignore God's warnings or instructions, it affects our relationship with him. Not because God will start to love us less, but because we will start to love God less. When Solomon's heart turns away from God, it affects Solomon, his descendants, and the whole Israelite nation. The kingdom of Israel is taken away from Solomon and his descendants, and it's divided up. But the real tragedy is the way that turning away from God affects Solomon personally. At the end of his life, Solomon writes the book of Ecclesiastes, which we can find in our Bibles. And in it, Solomon reflects on his life, on what he's done, and what he's learned. And here's some of what he says. I accomplished great things. I piled up silver and gold from the royal treasuries of the lands that I ruled. I was greater than anyone else who'd ever lived in Jerusalem, and my wisdom never failed me. Anything I wanted, I got. I did not deny myself anything that my eyes desired. I was proud of everything I'd worked for, and this was my reward. And yet, when I thought about all that I had done and how hard I'd worked doing it, everything was meaningless. Nothing was gained. It was like chasing the wind, of no use at all. Solomon never lost the gift of wisdom that God gave him, and he never lost his wealth. But we see that Solomon lost something far more valuable, because Solomon discovered too late that living outside of God's purpose is meaningless and empty. But for us today, if we ever find ourselves feeling like Solomon did at the end of his life, we don't need to despair, because we have a hope that Solomon didn't know about. You see, actually, today's story does have a happily ever after, because God's plan for his people doesn't end with Solomon. It ends with Jesus. Whenever we turn away from God, like Solomon did, we create a gap between God and ourselves. But when Jesus died on the cross, he closed that gap so that for us today, no matter what we might do, no matter how much we might get it wrong, there is always a way back to God. We don't need to despair like Solomon did at the end. We have to repent, to say sorry and turn back. The direct practical consequences of our mistakes might not disappear overnight, but our hope and our purpose and our relationship with God can be put right as soon as we want them to be. So as we finish, let's reflect on what we can learn today from the life of Solomon. We learn that it can be all too easy to rely on our own gifts and strengths rather than on God who gave them to us. We learn that it can be all too easy to become half-hearted in following God, especially if we choose not to follow his instructions. And we learn that ignoring God's instructions and going our own way might not bring us the happiness we think it will. But we can also rejoice in the hope that we have today that Solomon didn't know about. That through Jesus, there is always a way back to God, and there is always hope for the future.